Good morning. I want to welcome you this early New Year's 2011. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited about the year that's ahead of us. You know, our next magazine that'll be coming out will be talking about what's God saying in 2011. And, you know, I don't normally, you know, share from the perspective of what's God saying. I usually share from the perspective of this is what I'm sensing in my heart. But I think it's really important that we have some sense of where to go in 2011. There's so many things up in the air. There's so many things that could go wrong. And I know from listening to my series on Patriots and Believers, you may have a lot of questions, which, by the way, recorded two extra sessions for that were not broadcast that will come with that series. So be sure and order that series if you want to get zeroed in on some of the political things that that I discussed and some of the ways that I talked about preparing for the possibilities of what could happen this upcoming year. You know, several years ago, I had a friend, really a close friend, that that said that I talked too much and put too much emphasis on the issue of change. Well, of course, my friend was someone that really perverted the grace message and ultimately backslid because he moved away from the idea that grace is what's empowering us to be righteous, to be who God says that we are. And people who just see grace as unmerited favor really have no hope in transformation. They have no hope in becoming who God has called us to be other than dead works. But you know, there's a reason that I talk a lot about change, but be sure that you understand this. I never talk about change from the perspective that change will make you more acceptable to God, that change will make you more righteous. I always talk about change really from two primary perspectives. Number one, I always talk about the fact that change around us is inevitable. There's nothing we can do about the fact that the world around us is constantly changing. Our children are changing, the economy is changing, the government's changing, our age is changing, our health is changing. Everything outside of us, and really everything inside of us physiologically, is always in a constant state of change. Change is inevitable. It's the only certainty in this life. And change, based on the attitude of the person that's observing it, is either viewed as a threat or as an opportunity. And, you know, I want to say to you, if you haven't ordered my book, Wired for Success, Programmed for Failure, please do so. Devour that book because it talks about shifting from a heart perspective so that you can see change, always see change, as an opportunity and not as a threat. And the truth is, it's all about our heart that determines how we view change. Those who view change as an opportunity, they make adjustments and they discover the hidden opportunities that are held deep within the changes that are coming. Those who view it as a threat resist it or ignore it, and then they're surprised when their endeavors are no longer prosperous. They're surprised when what they used to do that worked doesn't work anymore. But I want you to realize that the peace and prosperity in change is not found because you're able to understand all the intricate issues that are going on. The peace and prosperity of change is found because you trust and follow God in your heart, because God is the only one that can lead us through all of the intricate details of life in a way that we can be absolutely sure of success. So, you know, I always talk about the fact that there's change going on all around us, and in reality, the only way that we can adapt to change is if we are willing to change. Now, really, I don't like to use the word change. I like to use the word transformation, because change talks about becoming something you're not. Transformation talks about actually morphing into who you really are. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, that the one thing that we are predestined to is we are predestined to be conformed to the likeness of the Lord Jesus, which means we are predestined to change or to transformation. So it is inevitable that we're always going to be dealing with change. You know, there is something in us, though, that always wants to maintain what we think is normalcy. Now, this is not the proper psychological term for it, right off the top of my head, I don't recall the proper term, but there is what is determined to be the normalcy factor. And I've talked to you a lot about how that once we determine something to be normal in our heart, then our tendency is to resist anything that would take us away from our sense of normal. But the normalcy factor really tells us that people are not willing to believe that things are really going to change, especially if people are comfortable. Once we accept any standard of normal, we resist any change. And we will face the surety of personal destruction with more comfortability than we will face the possibility of change. We so dread change. You know, it was really interesting. I saw this in a History Channel thing the other day. The Jews in Germany, when Hitler came to power, they saw that he was a radical. They saw him making threats against the Jews. They saw that danger was on the horizon. And about 100,000 Jews left Germany as Hitler was coming to power. But 450,000 Jews remained there. And 90% of them died during the war, and they stayed there, and they died because they were unwilling to accept and adapt to the obvious. And you know, one of the biggest factors is they were comfortable. You know, the Bible warns about getting comfortable and settling down in this comfort zone, then resisting any change that comes. See, no matter how much we talk about it, very few people are actually open to and preparing for and welcoming change. We don't believe things will change in any major way. We don't want things to change. Therefore, we deny it when things actually begin to change. You know, the 23rd Psalm, we quote it all the time, but I don't know if we know much about living it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, if I follow God as my shepherd, he should always be leading me away from the place of lack or away from the place of want, if you will. So he's going to lead me in paths of righteousness. And that word righteousness means as it should be. God's always going to try to lead me away from lack so that he can lead me into life as it should be. But the problem is, I've got to be willing to follow him and to leave where I am. You see, the place that I am, there was probably some time in the past that it worked for me. The place that I am, there was probably some time that it really brought me what I wanted and what I needed. But because the world around me is changing, I've now got to go to a new place. I've got to get new skills. I've got to get new ways of doing things in order for things to work. So what used to work doesn't matter anymore because now I've got to figure out what's going to work in the situation that I'm in. You know, one of my quotes is, to get what I do not have, I must be willing to walk where I have not been. And my resistance to change bonds me to an enemy called familiarity. And I tell you, familiarity is a place of false safety. You see, we fear change because change always represents an unknown. Now, the struggle that goes on within us, is the real warfare is not the battle between us and the devil. The real warfare is the battle between the mind and the heart, whether or not we will listen to and follow the voice of God in our heart, or whether we will listen to the carnal logic of the mind. Now, the mind has a sense of who we are based on everything that we've ever experienced, based on every success, every failure. The mind has this sense of who we are. And so the mind is going to always evaluate everything that we do in light of what we have done, in light of what is familiar to us. And the mind is going to really seek to preserve the ego, and it's going to resist us going down any paths that we've never been down. It's going to resist us going into the unknown because the unknown is fearful. The unknown prevents the possibility of failure. But more than anything else, the unknown prevents the probability of losing control or of not being in control of the situation. And so we're seeking safety through control. And the truth is, we're really not in control. Things are going to change. Life's going to change. There's nothing that we can do about it. Now, the heart is the real you. The heart is where who you are as a person comes together with who you are in Jesus. And out of that, you form a sense of identity. And See, people who begin to listen to God in their heart, when God speaks in your heart, He's always going to speak to you in a way that takes you down a path that fits who you are, that fits what your skills are, that He's going to take you down a path that's better than anything you've ever seen. And so the truth is, it's going to be an unknown to you. Now, God speaks to your heart. I want you to realize that. And He doesn't speak to your mind. What you hear in your mind, when you feel like you're verbally hearing God speak, is when your mind translates what it is hearing in the heart and puts it into words that make sense. But now the problem is, if we haven't renewed our mind to believe who we are in Jesus, then the mind is always struggling. The mind is always resistant, and the mind's always trying to preserve the ego and the sense of self. So we've got to establish our heart in who we are in Jesus in order to feel safe following God into something that is consistent with our new identity. The mind always seeks to preserve your ego, but the heart always seeks to preserve your identity. But you have to realize that when God speaks into your heart, He's going to lead you beyond your past experiences. He's going to lead you beyond your intellect. So God's trying to take you someplace that you've absolutely never been. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 in the Message Bible. No one has ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love Him. So the amazing thing is, God is trying to take us into someplace that's totally unknown to us. It's better than anything we've ever had, but we are going to resist it simply because it is an unknown. Now, you've heard me say this, and I talked about this on my series of What to Do When Nothing Seems to Work. The number one reason that most people who hear what God is saying will not reach that goal, it's not going to be disobedience, it's not going to be rebellion, it's going to be the fact that we're going to try to take control of the process so that the process is familiar to us. You see, if the goal, if the destination is unfamiliar, that means if you're sick, and God's trying to get you healed, the destination is unfamiliar. If you're broke and God's trying to get you prosperous, that destination is unfamiliar. And so what we tend to do to try to find some security is we have a tendency to, you know, find familiarity in it. And that familiarity is going to be the process. So God says, here's what I want you to do. And we go, okay, and this is how He's going to make it happen. So we try to take control of the process so that we can feel safe in the situation. Now, people who do not understand the times are like those who build sandcastles on the beach and they're surprised when the tide washes them away. I want you to realize something. Understanding the times, and there's two aspects of understanding the times. There's understanding the times from the sense of having knowledge of everything that's going on around you, and then there's understanding the times from your heart. Now, understanding the times, I think, is too complex for us because, you see, really, I don't need to just understand what's going on around me. I need to understand what's going on around me in light of who I am. I need to understand and be able to interpret what's going on around me in light of my skills, my calling, my passions, and this sort of thing. And so this is why the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You see, it's amazing how many people will not follow God, and their reason is, I don't understand. Well, praise God that you don't understand. Maybe it's time to realize I need to quit leaning on my own understanding. This is what it's talking about. Learn to hear God in your heart and follow Him even when it does not make sense in your own understanding. You see, carnal understanding gathers information and assesses facts, but an understanding heart reveals how you should function in light of the facts. Now, monumental change is coming, and the truth is we don't know what that change is going to look like. We don't know what it's going to be like. Governmental changes, there's economical changes. And the problem is most of us are building our ministries, are continuing to build our ministries the way we have always built them. And because we're building the way we always have, the truth is we're not going to be ready for what's coming. We're not going to be adapting to what's going on in the world today, and we're not going to be able to reach people and be effective in reaching people because we're just doing what has always been done, or we're doing what someone else has done. The real question is, I've got to know where God has taken me in my own heart. I've got to be able to follow Him. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to talk a lot about this, and I know you probably think I've talked about it enough, but I haven't talked about it enough. You have to be able to hear and follow God in your heart. You've got to be able to know the voice of God in your heart. You know, more and more I talk to people, and, you know, for years I would always say, you know, we've never faced a situation, we've never faced a hardship that God did not try to prepare us for. And some people would really get angry at that, and they would say, so you're saying it's my fault that something went wrong. Well, again, you're either seeing this as an opportunity or as a threat. You're either realizing that even though I might not have heard God in the past, God was still always talking to me. He was still always trying to prepare my heart. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter what happens in the economy. It doesn't matter what happens in the government. You know, it doesn't matter if the Antichrist comes to power tomorrow. God is still God, and He is still trying to lead us down paths of how it should be, paths of righteousness. And our ability to live as we should live is based on our willingness and our capacity to hear and follow God from our heart, so that we find a tailor-made success, a tailor-made process, if you will, that fits who we are and where we're going. You know, I'm telling you, God has great things for you, and God has great things for me. And they're bigger than we've ever seen. They're better than we've ever seen. We can't get so focused on what's going wrong that we don't have the capacity to follow God. You know, if we start focusing on what's wrong, we'll give into fear. And the moment we give into fear, then fear becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we begin to speak death, and we begin to speak doom and gloom, and we begin to speak things that bring about the very things that we have feared. Listen, I'm going to do everything I can to invest in you this year. I'm going to pop out as many tools and resources. And please remember this. You know, our program is aired for free every week. Well, it's really not for free. Our world changers, you, those people who have a passion for what we're doing, you make it possible for the tens of thousands of people around the world to hear our broadcast, to read our books. And so we put all of this out there for free. And the only thing that we put out there that costs something is that when it costs us something to make it, and we always use those resources to reinvest in the kingdom of God and reinvest in people's lives. It doesn't matter what goes on in the economy. It doesn't matter what goes on in the country. We still have a great commission, and we need to fulfill that great commission. And the worse things look, the greater passion we have need to have about God, and the more we need to connect to God in our heart. Listen, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, when these things come on the earth, be strong enough to overcome them. Jesus gave us all kinds of warnings that were coupled with hope, warnings that let us know that we could actually rise above the circumstances by following Him with all of our heart. Man, this gets back down to what it was all about when we first came to Jesus. You know, believe on Jesus in your heart. Know Him as your personal Savior. God is trying to take us someplace personal. So, we're going to have a great year. We're going to reach farther than we've ever reached this year. Our technical people assure me that we will be ready to launch our Project 1 Billion early this year. So we are doing it. We're going for it. And I just appreciate all that you're doing to make it possible. I'm going to tell you, and I say this to you every month, but you are helping me change the way the world sees God. I am not doing this by myself. This is bigger than me. If it were not for you and the part that you play in this, all these books and all these articles and all these things would just sit here on my desk and would never get beyond the pages that I write them on. But you know, the Apostle Paul said to one of the particular churches, he said, I robbed from the other churches to preach the gospel to you. Well, you know what? In a certain sense, I robbed from you, but you do it willingly so that we can keep expanding this gospel to the ends of the earth, and so that we can keep establishing people in this gospel in their own heart in a way that people can succeed phenomenally as believers. Well, going to have a great month, going to have a great year. Again, if you haven't ordered my book, Wired for Success, Programmed for Failure, be sure and get it. And then I encourage you to participate in the Creating Wealth online seminar. I'm telling you, this is going to be phenomenal. It's the next step. It's the next how-to step. And I'm going to be giving you some how-to things for prosperity and success this year that will help you navigate through hard economical times and help you be able to succeed, even when everybody around you may be failing. I appreciate you. Thank you for helping me change the way the world sees God.